no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 15th day of July. Welcome everyone in the world, everyone in the globe. Wow. Just take that in for a second. Halfway around the world, people you maybe will never meet in this lifetime, different ethnicities, and people, we eat really weird food in different cultures. I mean, if you don't grow up eating Spam out of a can and beanie weenies and or beans and tomatoes and mushrooms for breakfast, then you think it's weird, but it's just different. We're all different, but we're all here together for the same cause, for the same reason, the same goal, the same thing, the same one brings us all together where we can celebrate those differences, we can recognize those differences, and we can love and accept one another. And that common goal is the Word of God. It is a beautiful, breathing, living thing. And we all need it every day of our lives. Let's jump in. Today we are back into 2 Chronicles. We're going to read chapter 28, and then we'll jump over and read 2 Kings. A bit of a flip today. We usually read 2 Kings first, and then we'll read 2 Kings chapters 16 and 17. This week we're reading the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his ancestor David had done. But he walked in the ways of the king of Israel. He even made cast images for the Baals, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and made his sons pass through fire, according to the abominable practices of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the people of Israel. He sacrificed and made offerings on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Therefore, the king, his God, gave him into the hand of the king of Aram, who defeated him and took captive a great number of his people and brought them to Damascus. He was also given into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with great slaughter. Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all of them valiant warriors, because they had abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors. And Zichri, a mighty warrior of Ephraim, killed the king's son, Maaseiah, Azrikam, the commander of the palace, and Elkanah, the next in authority to the king. The people of Israel took captive 200,000 of their kin, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there whose name was Oded. He went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Because the Lord, the God of your ancestors, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. Now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. But what have you except sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me and send back the captives whom you have taken from your kindred, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Moreover, certain chiefs of the Ephraimites, Azariah son of Johanan, Berechiah son of Meshilaboth, Jehezkiah son of Shalom, and Amasa son of Hadlai, stood up against those who were coming from the war and said to them, 'You shall not bring the captives in here, for you propose to bring on us guilt against the Lord, in addition to our present sins and guilt. For our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the warriors left the captives and the plunder before the officials and all the assembly. Then those who were mentioned by name got up and took the captives, and with the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kindred at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time, King Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria for help. For the Edomites had again invaded and defeated Judah and carried away captives. And the Philistines had made raids on the cities and the Shephelah and the Negeb of Judah and had taken Beth Shemesh, Aijalon, Gederoth, Soko with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages, and they settled there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of King Ahaz of Israel, for he had behaved without restraint in Judah and had been faithless to the Lord. So King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria came against him and oppressed him instead of strengthening him. For Ahaz plundered the house of the Lord and the houses of the king and of the officials and gave tribute to the king of Assyria, but it did not help him. In the time of his distress, he became yet more faithless to the Lord, this same King Ahaz, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus that had defeated him and said, "Because the gods of the kings of Aram helped them, I will sacrifice to them so that they may help me." But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. Ahaz gathered together the utensils of the house of God and cut in pieces the utensils of the house of God. He shut up the doors of the house of the Lord and made himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. In every city of Judah he made high places to make offerings to other gods, provoking to anger the Lord, the God of his ancestors. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways from first to last are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Ahaz slept with his ancestors, and they buried him in the city, in Jerusalem, but they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. His son Hezekiah succeeded him. 2 Kings chapters 16 and 17. In the 17th year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, King Ahaz, son of Jotham of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his ancestor David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. He even made his son pass through fire, according to the abominable practices of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the people of Israel. He sacrificed and made offerings on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Then King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah, son of Remaliah of Israel, came up to wage war on Jerusalem. They besieged Ahaz, but could not conquer him. At that time, King Rezin of Aram recovered Elath for Edom and drove the Judeans from Elath. And the Edomites came to Elath, where they live to this day. Ahaz sent messengers to King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria, saying, "I am your servant and your son. Come up and rescue me from the hand of the king of Aram and from the hand of the king of Israel, who are attacking me." Ahaz also took the silver and gold found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house, and sent a present to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria listened to him. The king of Assyria marched up against Damascus and took it, carrying its people captive to Kir, and he killed Rezin. When King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria, he saw the altar that was at Damascus. King Ahaz sent to the priest Uriah a model of the altar and its pattern exact in all its details. The priest Uriah built the altar in accordance with all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So did the priest Uriah build it before King Ahaz arrived from Damascus. When the king came from Damascus, the king viewed the altar. Then the king drew near to the altar, went up on it, and offered his burnt offering and his grain offering, poured his drink offering, and dashed the blood of his offerings of well-being against the altar. The bronze altar that was before the Lord he removed from the front of the house, from the place between his altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of his altar. King Ahaz commanded the priest Uriah, saying, "Upon the great altar offer the morning burnt offering, and the evening grain offering, and the king's burnt offering and his grain offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, their grain offering, and their drink offering. Then dash against it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice, but the bronze altar shall be for me to inquire by." The priest Uriah did everything that King Ahaz commanded. Then King Ahaz cut off the frames of the stands and removed the laver from them. He removed the sieve from the bronze oxen that were under it and put it on a pediment of stone. The covered portal for use on the Sabbath that had been built inside the palace, and the outer entrance for the king, he removed from the house of the Lord. He did this because of the king of Assyria. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaz that he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? Ahaz slept with his ancestors and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. His son Hezekiah succeeded him. In the 12th year of King Ahaz of Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, began to reign in Samaria over Israel. He reigned 9 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, yet not like the kings of Israel who were before him. King Shalmaneser of Assyria came up against him. Hoshea became his vassal and paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria found treachery in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to King So of Egypt and offered no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria confined him and imprisoned him. Then the king of Assyria invaded all the land and came to Samaria. For 3 years he besieged it. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria. He carried the Israelites away to Assyria. He placed them in Halah, on the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. This occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They had worshipped other gods and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the kings of Israel had introduced. The people of Israel did things that were not right against the Lord their God. They built for themselves high places at all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves pillars and sacred poles on every high hill and under every green tree. There they made offerings on all the high places, as the nations did whom the Lord had carried away before them. They did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. They served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this." Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes in accordance with all the law that I commanded your ancestors and that I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." They would not listen, but were stubborn as their ancestors had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They despised his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their ancestors and the warnings that he had given them. They went after false idols and became false. They followed the nations that were around them, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do as they did. They rejected all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves cast images of two calves. They made a sacred pole, worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. They made their sons and their daughters pass through fire, used divination and augury, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah alone. Judah also did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs that Israel had introduced. The Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel. He punished them and gave them into the hand of plunderers until he had banished them from his presence. When he had torn Israel from the house of David, they made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, king. Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit great sin. The people of Israel continued in all the sins that Jeroboam committed. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had foretold through all his servants, the prophets. So Israel was exiled from their own land to Assyria until this day. The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria in place of the people of Israel. They took possession of Samaria and settled in its cities. When they first settled there, they did not worship the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them that killed some of them. So the king of Assyria was told, "The nations that you have carried away and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the law of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them. They are killing them because they do not know the law of the God of the land." Then the kings of Assyria commanded, "Send there one of the priests whom you carried away from there. Let him go and live there and teach them the law of the God of the land." So one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and lived in Bethel. He taught them how they should worship the Lord. But every nation still made gods of its own and put them in the shrines of the high places that the people of Samaria had made. Every nation in the cities in which they lived, the people of Babylon made Sukkot Benoth, the people of Cuth made Nergal, the people of Hamath made Ashima, the Avites made Nibhaz and Tarktek. The Sepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anemelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. They also worshipped the Lord and appointed from among themselves all sorts of people as priests of the high places, who sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places. So they worshipped the Lord, but also served their own gods, after the manner of the nations from among whom they had been carried away. To this day, they continue to practice their former customs. They do not worship the Lord, and they do not follow the statutes or the ordinances or the law or the commandment that the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. The Lord had made a covenant with them and commanded them, "You shall not worship other gods or bow yourselves to them or serve them or sacrifice to them, but you shall worship the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm. You shall bow yourselves to him, and to him you shall sacrifice." The statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment that he wrote for you, you shall always be careful to observe. You shall not worship other gods. You shall not forget the covenant that I have made with you. You shall not worship other gods, but you shall worship the Lord your God. He will deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. They would not listen, however, but continued to practice their former custom. So these nations worshiped the Lord, but also served their carved images. To this day, their children and their children's children continue to do as their ancestors did. Okay, let's just understand what's happening here. The people, God's chosen people that he called not to be special, not to be superior, to be set apart. They have gotten so far away from God, so far away from worshiping the God of their ancestors, by worshiping other gods, that they were putting all of their faith, their belief, their energy, their worship into, believing that those gods in return would give them what they're requesting. A transaction. I'll worship you. I will bow down to you. Maybe not literally, maybe figuratively, but I will do so in hopes and with the belief that I will get something out of this. Sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? Sounds kind of selfish, doesn't it? Sounds kind of familiar, though, doesn't it? How do we approach the God that we claim to be all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, to be good, the God who sent his only son to be Emmanuel, God with us, to actually give us something greater than any request we could make? His presence, his healing, his comfort, his peace that passes all understanding. And yet, do we worship him with our lives? Do we worship him in our thoughts, in our deeds? Do we worship him by loving our neighbor and our brother as ourself? Do we worship him by showing his love and kindness and mercy with those who may not claim to know us and who may be empty or void of these things? Or are we returning their anger with an anger even greater? Do our lives on display mimic the same life we live behind closed doors with our own family, the ones that we claim to love? Are we showing them the same kindness that we put on display on our Facebooks, on our social media, our good deeds that would get us the accolades, the attention we may be seeking? I'm just going to put this right here for today and let it kind of sink. When we don't match, when our actions that we display to the world, to the public, to social media, to the church that we attend, to the circles of people that we surround ourselves with, when our actions at home, behind closed doors, to our spouses, to our children, to our children's children, when they do not match, it causes great confusion. It's called hypocrisy. And it can cause people who see us on display two different ways, living literally two different lives, one way, and are a completely different person, unrecognizable behind closed doors. Why would they want anything to do with this God that we serve? And maybe we don't even realize that there's two different behaviors that are happening But once we do, we have a responsibility. We have a decision to make of which person we actually want to be. We owe it to God to figure that out sooner than later. We owe it to God to turn from our ways and come back to Him. And to work, it will require work. Work is hard. It will require something of us to do the work so that our actions, our words, align behind closed doors, out in public. To be women and men of integrity, striving for righteousness. To choose good and not evil. And just as we read in the story, in the books today of the people of Israel that have gotten so far away from God because of the leadership that chose to do evil in the sight of God and led the people into idol worship. I said it a couple days ago, I think I'll say it again. We can either come humbly, we can either humble ourselves, or we can be humbled. It's so much better for us if we do it voluntarily sooner than later, as we read in the story, because of the disobedience, again, of the children of Israel, because of how far they had wandered. We read in chapter 17, verse 21 today, when he had torn Israel from the house of David, they made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, king. Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit great sins. The people of Israel continued in all the sins that Jeroboam committed. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had foretold through all his servants, the prophets. So Israel was exiled from their own land to Assyria until this day. This is not just because God is angry and he's showing his anger. This is because God entered into a covenant with the people they agreed to. And this is generations now removed from Abraham, from Isaac, and from Jacob. This is the warning. Do not forget where I brought you from. Write it on your forehead. Post it on your doorways. Do not forget who you are and who God is and where He brought you from, where He brought you out of. And don't get distracted with other gods. Don't even mix with anyone that would tempt you in that way. And don't mix with people that claim to be good, that are evil. I believe with all my heart, this is not the unbeliever. This is not the person that's on the outside of the trenches of the church. This is a word for every one of us that are in relationship with God. We have to know what God considers good, good, and what He considers evil, because there are many believers that are confused. And when we do not know ourselves, we will follow anything that feels good. That is not good. When we do not know ourselves, we will follow the masses to look and feel relevant, to look and feel like we belong. And we can get it so wrong and belong to a place that believe they're doing good, they're doing it right, and everyone else is wrong. And it's just not the case sometimes. So Jesus, here we are today. And I pray that as we hear your word, God, you would convict every heart. God, even every heart that has learned, they have learned behaviors, lived out one way, and have become incredibly sloppy, incredibly careless, incredibly evil behind closed doors to the people that we should steward the most. The families, God, that you have given to us. The children that you have entrusted us with. The spouses that we said yes to, that we made a vow, a covenant with. Many of us before you, God, we have treated them so poorly, so haphazardly. We have treated them with such evil in secret, in private, but we can hide nothing from you. God, forgive us. Make us turn from our evil ways so that we can walk in the righteousness of Christ, so that people would see that we're walking a different way and they would actually want to walk that way and not run away from our hypocrisy. We need your help, but we need to show up and own our actions and take responsibility, God. Take accountability, God. Help us to live lives that would be careful to give you thanks and praise every day. That our lives would be an act of worship, and that our worship would be more than just to see you as a transactional God, but that we would come to you owning our part of this relationship. Hear my cry today. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base. That is the website. That is the free app. Take a look around. Check out the store. Check out the resources. Check out the community section. If you are new, you do not have to go through life alone. There are people literally all over the globe. They might be in your neck of the woods if you're like, no, I'm too far out here. You might be surprised. Especially if you need prayer and you don't want to call into the prayer line, you can go to the prayer wall on the app, on the website, and you can ask for prayer there. You can even remain anonymous if you would like to. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We cannot do this without you. We are really, really grateful that we don't have to. If you are giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or if you are utilizing that app, hit the give icon up the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for the give icon on the app, on the website. Sorry, I already did the app. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, if you'd like to share what you believe God has answered prayer through this prayers of this community, several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line, or once again, utilizing the app, hit the red button up at the top, midsection. When you are finished, hit submit, turn the wheel over to chronological, and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow, and we will continue back in the book of Isaiah. Until then, love one another.
Hi, my beautiful Dab Seers. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels, and I'm calling to lift up a few prayer requests on July 8th with Mary calling in for her 3 adult children who are unsaved and her 4-year-old granddaughter that she subsequently can't have a relationship with because of this. And Larry calling in from Iowa for his grandson, an adult, 26 years old, saved, and who is a firefighter, and that the Lord would cover him in this season when he goes and fights fires. Heavenly Father, we come before your beautiful throne of grace and mercy. You are our creator. We are created in your image to worship you, to to obey you and to love you and to love one another as we love ourselves, and that our salvation is firmly planted and rooted and guaranteed in our faith in Christ Jesus. So as we come before you, Lord, we lift up these prayer requests. Lord, we lift up these three adult children. Lord, your word says that you desire that everyone should be saved. And at the same time, Lord, you give us that free will, and that your will is also that we be holy, and your will is also that you will not tolerate evil. So we know not everyone will be saved, Father God. And at the same time, we stand in that gap for these three adult children, asking, believing, and hoping and praying that you will grant them this gift of salvation and open their eyes and to our beautiful Lord and Savior and freedom in Christ, and that she subsequently would be able to have a relationship with her granddaughter. Many of us have had a prayerful grandmother that have done amazing works of faith in our family's life. And we pray for Brian, a firefighter in Iowa that goes to fight fires in the summer. We thank you for his salvation, and we pray that you would cover him in the season, that he would be able to help people most in need, and that you would spare his life and keep him safe in his line of duty. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.
Hi guys, it's Kate calling in. I'm driving, so hopefully there won't be too much noise to take over my soft voice. Anyhow, Mrs. Smith, I was so blessed by your prayer request. I was on my way to where I just left, really dreading a medical appointment and trying to trust in the Lord and just let it all go, but it wasn't happening like I would have wanted. I was anxious and wound up and didn't sleep well, blah, blah, blah. So then I hear your story about, now I've already forgotten her name. Maybe it was Victoria. Anyway, the young woman addicted to fentanyl that you ministered to in the Dangerous Mile. And I just thought, I had to pause it. And I said, Lord, I thank you for this reality check for me. You know, it's not all about me, but right now I want to acknowledge I was not leaning on you. I was leaning on feelings and fears and et cetera. So then I hear Mrs. Smith, who works with the probably most addicted mile of people, talking about ministering to this young woman. I hope her name is Victoria. So I do pray for you and her. I just shut the radio off. I prayed the rest of the way to the clinic for this young woman and for you in the trenches, and I thank you so much for what you do, and I will not forget this or stop praying for either one of you or the others that you reach. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Depending on the part of the world you're hearing this prayer from, my heart is just so broken. You know, my name is Loveline, and I'm calling in from France. Our world is so broken. God, for my heart to reach out to those children, 23 children, there was sister calling that we should pray for the 22 children that are missing in the campaign, in the flood or whatever in Texas. And my heart is just reaching out to their parents, to them, innocent people that went out for camp and tragedy struck. What a word. We are praying for them. We are so, so praying for them. And my heart also reached out to a sister that calling, say your daughter is pregnant, and she has been in the street since 16 years with some criminal record, and she's pregnant, and she'll be due, and she's praying for she's on probation, for the probation officer to have mercy so that you can help your daughter's sister. My heart reach out to you. And I use you as a point of contact, reaching every parent, every mother, that their hearts are bleeding for their wayward children. They are coming back home. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because there is nothing impossible for you to do. For anything to happen, you allow it. You are aware. I know most of them is our mistake, most of them is our negligence, most of them is our fault, but Lord, we are all asking for mercy. Let your mercy prevail over judgment, over this child, in the name of Jesus. Their mother's heart desire will be granted in the name of Jesus. And these children that are missing, Lord, let there be a way out, even when they seem to...
Hey, Dabsy family, I'm down here in Texas, and as you know, there was some major flooding in Kerr County, Kerrville, Center Point, and other areas around there, Hunt. My family has spent a lot of time in those areas. Both of my boys, before they passed, they were in recovery down there in Center Point in Kerrville. There is a large community of people that are in recovery in that area. This is a very difficult time for those communities. I wanted to just lift those communities up to you, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you would give peace and comfort, a peace that surpasses all understanding. We do pray for the continued rescue and recovery of those that are missing. We do pray also for those that are in recovery, just an extra special prayer for them during this time, because it's when you're in recovery, things like this can be very difficult to deal with. So we just ask that they would draw upon you and know you in a mighty way, Lord God. Again, we just pray for these communities, these towns. We pray in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And we thank you in advance for everything you're doing, Lord. Amen.